Everyone goes through difficult times in this life. Last week we talked about how Jesus told the followers, trouble is coming, but be courageous because I have overcome the world. He says, in me you may have peace. So we know how it is living on earth. One of the things you can guarantee that will happen to you as you live on earth is that you will have trouble. You will have difficult times in this life. And perhaps some of you might have gone through trials that you feel that you have the back against the wall, that you feel at times that you don't know what to do. It appears that you don't have any hope, that you're powerless, hopeless. We know that going through difficult times in this life, it's just going to be a matter of times. The question is not, is trouble coming? But the question should be, how would you respond to trouble when it comes? Because it will come. How do you and I respond? And I want to show you a king in the Bible that, I mean, his back was against the wall and how he responded. Because when I look at his life, we can learn so much when that will happen to us. All of us, perhaps you have been there. If not, you will eventually, that you come to a moment in your life that you had no idea what to do. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, where do I go? Where do I turn? You all, whether you are millennial or whatever, just because you are a person, you will come to a point in your life that you are clueless. Like, Lord, what is it that you want me to? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. Your back is against the wall and we don't know what to do. But there's something you can do. When I look at the scripture, when I look at the Bible, there's something that we can learn to do when that happens to us. How do we respond? How do you respond? And you know, we all respond differently. Some people just go crazy, you know, it's like, and some people start killing, you know what I mean? It's like, but how do you respond when your back is against the wall? Let me show you through scripture how you can respond in a way that will be honoring and glorifying to God. There was a king in the Bible named Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of the northern kingdom of Judah. Solomon's children divided the whole kingdom. It became Israel in the north, the northern kingdom, and it became Judah in the southern kingdom. And each of those kingdoms had different kings. Now, sometimes when you read the stories of the kings, you hear in the Bible that it said that king was good or that king was bad. Jehoshaphat was a good king. Why do we say he was good? When you look at the story, we're going to spend some time in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When you go back in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, it says that he instituted the law and he brought people back to worshiping God. You know, people in those days, they were just doing whatever. But Jehoshaphat decided, I got to bring people back to seeking Yahweh, to seeking the Lord. Jehoshaphat also appointed judges throughout the land of Judah. And he told them specifically, judge with justice because you are representing Yahweh. You are representing God. So this king was amazing. He was a great king. And there's a name for one of your boys if you want to ever name him Jehoshaphat. It means Yahweh judge. So Jehoshaphat, that's the king that I realized. I mean, one time, you know, chapter 19, everything is going well in his kingdom. That's what DJ said. Usually when things are going well, I mean, it's nice to praise the Lord. You know, I mean, you're a king and nobody's threatening your kingdom. And, you know, you're just appointing judges. You're dealing with things internally, you know, in your own country when all of a sudden, boom, three nations are coming against him now. And now these nations are not just any nations. When you hear about the Moabites, that's like talking about ISIS coming towards you today. You know, I mean, they were wicked nations and everybody else around them were intimidated. So Jehoshaphat had the news that the Moabites and two other nations were conspiring and they were coming against him. You know he will not win that war because it's three against one. I mean, you see even today, like some nations decide to support some other because I have an ally and that's why people don't come against me. So they're three against one. Statistically, it's impossible for you to win. So Jehoshaphat at that moment, chapter 20, you see, chapter 19, everything is going well. By chapter 20, and we don't know how long it took, now you don't even know what to do. So you have your Bibles with you. Let's find out what happened. It's in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, after 1 and 2 Kings. And chapter 20, I'm going to pick it up in verse 1. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. I'm reading the NIV 1984. It says, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already at Hazazon Tamar, that is Engedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. There's a problem in the kingdom of Judah. Jehoshaphat, three nations are coming, and it tells you right there, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites. So three against one, they're coming against Judah, and somebody told them, the NIV says a vast army is coming. If you're reading the ESV, it should say something like, a huge multitude is coming against you, man. And they will be here. They're already at Engedi. I mean, that's, we're talking about miles. They will be here. And they're all going to come against you. Imagine, I mean, you were having prosperity and peace. What are you going to do now? So at that moment, he says that he feared. Who here, I mean, who of us would not fear when somebody says, hey, they're going to come and you don't have any power. You're defenseless. There's no way that you're going to win this war because they're coming against you and they will be here. What are you going to do, Jehoshaphat? It is at that moment that he did something that I think you and I can learn how to do when we face trials and tribulations, when our backs are against the wall. Look at what he did. It says he inquired to, he was afraid, but he went and sought the Lord. He set his face to seek the Lord. And how did he do that? He proclaimed a fast throughout the kingdom of Judah. And it's interesting because all the people of Judah came together that day. From all the towns of Judah, they came and fasted and prayed. So he decided to seek the Lord. I mean, we know it's easy to seek God when there's a lot of problems. I mean, most people would just want God to do something. I mean, that's not really strange for somebody to seek the Lord when there's trials and tribulation. But the thing with Jehoshaphat, he already been doing that. I told you, he was a great king. He knew that what he needed to do right now was to seek the Lord. What to do when you don't know what to do? Here's an example of what he did. He's a king. He called a fast throughout the kingdom of Judah, and all the people came together. Then, verse 5, then he stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, now, one of the things about Jehoshaphat, he prayed to God. He decided, let's pray, let's seek the Lord, because right now, when you don't know what to do, why not pray? When you come to a point that you have no idea what's next, pause and pray. Seek God when your back is against the wall, because the answer might be given to you. And so that's what this king did. He said, imagine, there's no way that we're going to win this war. Let's go to the one who can. There's no way that you're going to resolve that problem that you're going through right now. But there's somebody who can. Why not seek his counsel? Why not seek his advice? Because he knows better. So that's exactly what he did. He prayed. And I love his prayer. Because here through the prayer, you're going to see he's going to talk about God as past, present, and future. Like he knew God so well. And I just want to read that prayer, Jehoshaphat, in the following verses. Look at how he said, oh Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or pest or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we'll cry out to you in our distress. That's what he's doing. And you will hear us and save us. But now here are the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possessions you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, Lord, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. There's the key verse. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I mean, you and I can learn so much about that. We all, like I said, we all have been there. Perhaps the doctor gave you a diagnosis and, you know, just like you had no idea what to do, but you can say like he did. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We're going to fix our eyes on you, Lord, because there's no way that we can do anything. We're powerless. We're defenseless. We don't have any hope. We're hopeless. Are you not God in heaven? What Jehoshaphat is saying to us is, when he said, are you not God in heaven? Yes, that means you, power and mind are yours. You are bigger than this issue that I have right now. Are you not God in heaven? I mean, yes, he is. He's the Lord Almighty, and he recognized that this vast army, there's nothing compared to the God that he worshiped. Look at what he says. All the kingdoms of the nations are yours. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Are you not God in heaven? Yes, whatever issues and tribulations come against me, they're not big enough as you are, because you are the God that can resolve it instantly if you want to. That's what he's saying. Are you not God? All power is yours. And then later on he talks about, did you not drive out the inhabitants of the nations? You see, Jehoshaphat is talking about recognizing that if they were there in that kingdom at that moment, it's because God already brought them. He already recognized that God's been with them, with the nation of Judah and Israel in the past. Did you not drive out the nations and give us this land? You have done that. You have acted in our past. And you and I can pinpoint events in our lives when we can say, I got out of that situation because God was there with me. Jehoshaphat is saying, you already acted on our behalf, and now I want you to act again. God's being in the past. You know, churches, I mean, when you celebrate anniversary, you realize, wow, God has brought us thus far. And it hasn't been pretty right, because there were issues, and he was there with us when we faced those problems and issues. So did you not drive out those nations? Remember, for Israel and Judah, every time they got into a battle, it was really God delivering them. God was fighting for them. And Jehoshaphat recognized that through the prayer. Did you not do that? I mean, yes, you did. It's almost like he's asking a rhetorical question, because the answer is yes. He drove all the nations out and gave Judah that land. And now those enemies are coming back to kick him out. And he says, did you not do that on our behalf, O Lord? And then he says, you know, I love what he says in verse 8. They have lived in this land and have built a sanctuary, a house with your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before the temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you. That's what he's doing right now, crying out to the Lord in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. Are you not God? Did you not? And finally he says, will you not judge them now? God, would you not judge them? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to repay us back with what we did. These nations had a history that goes back all the way to Egypt. And now, I mean, many, many centuries later, they want to come back and eliminate the kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem. Look what he says. He presents to the Lord his situation. He recognized God has been with them in the past. He is in the present. He will continue to be in the future, because God already said, I am who I am. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And, you know, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he's saying that in that prayer through the, are you not? Did you not? And there's a, will you not now interfere? Keep on reading. Look at what he says in verse 10. But now here are the men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they're repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possessions you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Will you not act on our behalf? Will you not judge them? He says. Now the king acknowledged how powerless they truly were. And you know, that's, we do that too. We know when the situation comes, whether we have a way out or not ourselves. But when our backs are against the wall, we don't know what to do. Do like Jehoshaphat. Do what he did. He sought the Lord in prayer and fasting. And look at how he prayed. And finally, are you not? Did you not? Will you not judge these people? Because if you don't do anything, the nation of Israel, Judah, will be out of the picture, and then the Messiah will not come. You see, this is what we're talking about. Like, the Messiah came from the tribe of Judah. If you annihilate Judah here in this scenario, when will Jesus come then? I mean, sometimes you gotta see the matter in perspective. The nation of Israel, the nation of Judah was going to be attacked, and they had no idea what to do in that case. But I think when they did not know what to do, they did the right thing. When they did not know what to do, they did what they needed to do, and that was to seek God in prayer and fasting, to humble themselves before the Lord, because He promises that when you humble before Him, when you seek me, He says, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. It's interesting that Jehoshaphat is praying, and the Lord was already answering their prayer before he was even done. Look what he says. Verse 13, all the men of Judah with their wives and children. It's the whole kingdom of Judah came together as one, because guess what? We might not have another kingdom tomorrow if those nations come. They all came together, men, women, children, and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came through Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeriel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph. And he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. The trouble's coming. Jehoshaphat's praying, and God was already going to answer the prayer. He, one of the prophets, I love his name, Jahaziel. It means the God sees. My friends, whatever you're going through right now, Jahaziel, God sees what it is. But have you been seeking Him wholeheartedly, spending time with Him, realizing, you know, only you can do this, Lord. So God spoke to the prophet, and he said to Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Now, what did the Lord say? How did God answer that prayer when the whole nation of Judah and Jehoshaphat, their backs were against the wall? How did God deliver? This is what the Lord said. Listen to what the prophet said. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. How many times we know the Bible says that to us and we forget? Do not be afraid or discouraged because the battle is not yours, but God's. Because they're going to come against God's people and God's going to fight instead of you. Do not be afraid. 365 times in the Bible. This is just one. Do not be afraid or discouraged because the battle is not yours, Jehoshaphat, but the Lord's. So tomorrow, now check this out. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeriel. You will now have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. I know many of us, when we read that, it's like, I wish that I don't even have to get out and face them. Sometimes God will not deliver and bring things to you unless you move on. You mobilize and go. He could have just wiped them all out and just through lightning. But he says, don't be afraid and discouraged. Go face them. They're shaking in their boots because there's no way that you can win this war. Now God's telling me to go face them. And you have two choices. You're either going to obey the Lord, or you're going to just keep on trembling in your boots. It says, the battle's not yours, but the Lord. He said, go march against them. There's Israel, Judah, marching against three nations that are coming because the Lord told them to go and face them. It's almost like God saying, you know that thing you're running away for years? You need to face it now. Because you're never going to be able to overcome and have triumph until you keep on running away from that. You need to face it in the name of the Lord. That was David did with Goliath. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged because of the situation. The battle is not yours, but God's. March against them. Go. Face them. But you will not even have to fight this battle, he said. And stand firm and see the great salvation that the Lord will bring to you. This is what the Psalm writer said. Be still and know that the Lord is God. How many times do we need How many of us sometimes need that reminder constantly? Be still, because right now, you know, you're going like a chicken going around. You don't know what to do, but the Lord says, be calm, be still, and watch the deliverance that the Lord will bring to you. Because that thing you're fighting right now is not yours, it's His. Sometimes I think we recognize that when our backs are against the wall. That's the only time sometimes we get it that that's true, it's God's. And I'm powerless, I don't know what to do, let Him do it. And that's really when He would do His mighty work. So He says, stand firm, the Lord will be with you. How many times in the Bible God told that to Moses? The Lord will be with you, go. The Lord will be with you, to Joseph in Egypt, to Joshua. Now, one of the things that I learned about this king Jehoshaphat, check out the next verse, verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Check this out. He's worshiping, and God has not even given them the answer yet. Now, how many of us will worship in the midst of the trial? He worshiped, all he heard was the prophet say, God's going to be with you, but the enemy is still coming. He fell down with his face to the ground and worshiped the Lord. That's the word for worship, means to bow down, to prostrate yourself before the Lord. He's worshiping in the midst of the situation. He's worshiping, and God has not even delivered them yet. And I think for us, that would teach us to learn how to worship in the midst of that trial, in the midst of the storm. When I don't know what else to do, I will worship. When they did not know what to do, they worship. And how do we know that? Because they saw the Lord in worship. They fasted. They prayed. They humbled themselves before the Lord. Yes, the Lord confirmed that I'm gonna fight for you. Don't worry about it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The battle's not yours. And he falls down and worships God. I mean, look, and all Judah with him, because he's the king. And now the Levites were the tribe responsible for worship and singing. It says the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. They went crazy worshiping God out loud. And God has not even given victory yet. How many of us can learn how to worship God in the midst of the trials? You know, I praise Him in the storm. He hasn't calmed it yet, but I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to worship Him. So this king did that. All he heard was the voice of the Lord through the prophet. Things are going to be okay. And he's worshiping God and old Judah with him. And they're singing. They just lost themselves in worship. It's just with a loud voice. And then early in the morning, they left for they worship and they obey God. God said, go march against them. They didn't stay in Judah. I said, well, the Lord said that the battle is His. He's telling me to go and face Him. I'm going to go face Him, trusting in God. And you know, sometimes we lack that when we have a situation that we say that we trust God, but our attitude is showing that we don't. Because when you trust Him, you go where He's telling you to go. When you trust Him, you don't let the situation determine who you are. Because your identity is not based on the situation. Your identity is based on He, on Christ, on God. So the next morning, just like Abraham did, he said, okay, he said to go face Him. Let's go. So Jehoshaphat goes now to face right where God told him to go. So early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah. This is the king and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe in His prophets and you will succeed. This is the king telling the whole nation, as they're going to march, as they're getting ready to go and meet the enemies, this is what he tells the people, trust in the Lord your God, and He's going to establish you. He's going to uphold you. Believe in His prophets, in His word, and you will have success. And they're going. Verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. And as they began to sing praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. They all killed each other. As they're worshiping the Lord and praising God, God was already winning the battle. You see what's going on here? How do you win the battles in life? In worshiping God. Resting in His presence. That's how you and I can really, when we don't know what to do, you want to win the battle? Spend some time in His presence. Worship Him. Praying, fasting. I love that. They were going to meet the army and they're singing and they're going crazy. Give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. And as they were doing that, I love that, as they were began to sing, God was already doing something. As they were not even done with the worship when God was already giving the answer and they did not have to fight the battle. God created confusion between the three armies that were coming. And when you read the story, they killed each other. By the time Judah gets there, everybody's dead. Because the Lord said, this is not your battle. But you see, they were going there because God sent him. God delivered that as they were worshiping the Lord. The nation of Judah humbled herself, men, women, and children. And they all came together to seek the Lord. And the Lord showed up. He answered their prayer. Now, how many of us would take this posture of worship when we face difficult situations in this life? You know, I think some of us forget about worshiping God. And we neglect worshiping when we are faced with trials and difficulties. And I think it is at those moments and those situations that worship got to be more alive than ever. But, you know, they're like, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to dedicate this time just to seek Him and find out because He has the answer. I don't know what to do, but my eyes will be fixed on You. Judah was threatened, but they worshiped. They saw God in prayer, fasting and singing. They were about to be annihilated, but they worshiped God. Isn't that amazing to be able to do that? Believe in the Lord and you will believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe in the prophets and you will be successful. They went to meet the armies and by the time they're going, God already delivered them. You see, while we worship God, usually when you're worshiping the Lord, when you're seeking Him out, He's already bringing the solution. He's already delivering you from whatever it is that you need to be delivered at that moment. I think that's the best way for you and I to fight battles, worshiping God. Somebody said the greatest battles are won in your knees, meaning by prayer and fasting. You wanna really be victorious, whatever trials and things, when your back is against the wall, worship God. Learn how to worship. Just like, sold out for Him. Just get lost in praising Him through the singing, through prayer and fasting. That's how people saw the Lord. And He showed up in a powerful way. And literally, they did not even have to fight. They just marched to war, but the war was not theirs to fight. You see, my friends, don't allow your situation to distract you from worship. Do not allow that trial that's going to keep you from worshiping God. It's at those moments that you and I had to learn to worship Him in the midst of the storm, because eventually we trust Him, He will get us out. We don't know how long it might take, but just my eyes are on You. We don't know what to do, but my eyes are fixed on You. My focus, my vision is going to be on You, Lord. That's what the author of Hebrews says. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. How many of us sometimes we just fix our eyes on the circumstances and the things and then we wonder why we look defeated? Trust in the Lord, He said, and He will establish you. Worship Him during the struggles. Worship Him as you wait for His answer. Trust in His word. Every battle you face, He is facing. Every struggle you experience, and it is His struggle. Because you are a child of His. Whatever it is that you're going through, that's not just yours. It's God's. And He said, trust me with that. Give it to me. And then you wanna be able to get rid of that? Just give it to Him. But I think the only way for us to give it back to God is when our backs is against the wall. When really you and I don't know what to do and say, you finally give up and say, Lord, I'm clueless. Do what you need. Here, show me. I think some of us, I think we learn it when our backs are against the wall. That's when we start to learn really how to trust God. until we're not. You know, you don't trust God with the finances until you really cannot pay the bills. And God then deliver you. I've been there. You know, I mean, when I went to school, and I don't know how God was going to provide for my education, and I was owing so many money, and the guy said to me, the Lord will provide. I mean, that sounds good. And, you know, I'm praying for you. At that moment, you don't want prayer. You want to see bucks. You know, honestly. But, you know, but later on I learned, like, that's true. God provided with people that I don't even know to this day. And, you know, that taught me a lesson that, you know, even when there's financial situations, He's still God. Are you not God? I mean, you know I cannot pay my bills. Are you not God? You know that I'm going to have an issue communicating with my son and daughter, and we're just like enemies. Are you not? Yes, He is God. And He's saying, like, well, where are you going to trust me with that? You know, I mean, He acted in the past. That's why my wife can tell you, I don't worry about money anymore, because He provided for me 15 years ago, more than that, 20 years ago. He doesn't change. He still can continue doing it. What changes is our perspective sometimes. But we need to adapt what Jehoshaphat did. It's like, you are God. You deliver. And He says, that's not your battle. It's mine. And if you trust me, and then you will be established. Those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength, He says. My friends, we've been going to church for a long time, but I think there got to be a point in our lives that we realize, you know what? I'm going to learn to trust God even more. We all can do better when it comes to trusting God. Sometimes we will not learn to trust until your backs are against the wall. And then finally you say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And then God said, move away. I'm going to show you what you need to do. Just spend time with me. Seek me out. And you're going to find me. And I'm going to show you. I mean, that's what Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah did. They worshiped God even when their lives were being threatened. They worshiped God before God even gave him the answer. They worship in the midst of the storm. And I want to be like that. That I worship God, not based on the circumstances, but based because who He is. Because the circumstances will change today or tomorrow, but He is the unchanging Great I Am. And when you're hanging on to Him, man, you will be secure. You will be okay, regardless of what it is you're going through right now. What He says, He does. So do you want to experience triumph within the situation you're in right now? The key to that victory is to trust in the Lord. Because by trusting in Him, He's going to have you worship in ways that you never thought possible. Worshiping God in ways, it's like, I never knew that I can worship God like that. Oh, because now you're trusting Him wholeheartedly. That's how you win the victories. That's how you win those battles. The greatest battles are won by resting in His presence.